Morning. Hope you guys are doing well. Welcome to 2021. You know what I have? You know what Cheryl was saying. It has been. It's been a tough year, hasn't it? It is hard to figure out. We're going into 2021, and we keep going, and we keep trying to figure out how do you be a church in a pandemic. That's tough. Some of you guys are finding out it's hard to figure out how to be a parent in a pandemic. You know, it's hard to figure out how to be a business owner or an employee or just how to be a person in a pandemic. It just makes it tougher, doesn't it? And so, yeah, it has been a tough 2020. So welcome to 2021, right? It sounds like there's some hope on the horizon. There's always something somewhat comforting about going into a new year. Because as you go in there and you see kind of these 365 days ahead of you and you go, I've been here before. You know, and no matter how last year went, whether it was great or whether it was terrible, we've cycled around. We're at the beginning. I get another run at it. We can see if we can do it. Maybe it can turn out better this year. And so I know that we all have hopes that are on this year. We have hopes in a vaccine so that we can stop wearing masks and we can start actually seeing each other and hanging out and not being so spread out in this church. And we've been showing up to church again. Some of you guys are kind of bummed because you don't get to, maybe you'll feel guilty sitting around in your pajamas eating waffles at church. But the glorious thing is that we have live streaming now, so you can continue to do that and be a part of Christ Church. But there's something nice about a new year, but there's also something kind of disconcerting about a new year, because especially after going through this last one, because we all know we look out into the future, we see those 365 days that are out there, right? And we go, yeah, and that's a lot of unknown. And what we've learned this last year is that it's that unknown that makes life kind of interesting. Right? And so it's a good and bad. It's a mix. And the thing that we want to know as we go into a new year, I want to know that the steps that I take in this year will lead to a good year, right? And at the beginning, there's all kinds of hope. There's all kinds of just promise that that's going to be what it's, that every step that I take is going to lead to a better year. To a good year this year. And so those are my hopes. Those are my expectations, my hopeful expectation is that the steps that I take will be in a good direction, a right direction, that will lead to a better year this year, to a good year, no matter what pops up in front of me, no matter what the challenges, because we know there will be challenges this year, but we hope that by the steps that we take, that maybe we'll be able to persevere those challenges, that we'll be able to overcome those challenges because of how we prepare for them, that we'll be able to even, if it's possible, avoid some of those challenges in this next year. So as we're looking ahead, that's where we make these New Year's resolutions and all that, the promises that we make at the front of the year, I'm going to have a better year. Now, anybody out there want to have a better year this next year than you had this year? Yeah, a bunch of hands in here. I think online you guys are probably raising two hands up, right? When we say, I want to make sure that the steps that I take lead to a better place, the question comes up, though, how can we know? How can we know that we're going to take the right steps? And the grace that God gives us, one of the many graces that he gives us, is that he has told us, you know what, if you will just look to me, if you'll just follow me, if you'll just listen to me, I will guide your steps. And I will lead you to good places. I will guide your steps so that you do, that you navigate an unknown in a way that is not just, it's not just about benefit, it's not just about success in this world, but that we actually have success that means something down to the depths of our heart, down to the core of who we are. I will guide your steps. You know, I was originally going to, for that reason, I was going to title this sermon, navigating new territory. It's part of this making all things new. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but I was going to call it navigating new territory, but that sounds like we're out there with a compass and a map, and we're trying to figure it out on our own, right? It's not about that. This is really a message about the God of the next step, the God who is with us, who shows us what is the direction we go next, that is constantly giving us that wisdom and that information so that we can go into this year with confidence, with an encouragement, knowing that he has great things ahead for us to join with him in. So as we look into that, I want to read our scripture for this morning. It comes out of Isaiah 43, because God's people at the time that this was written, that this was spoken in Isaiah 43, 19 through 21, at the time that this was written, at the time that it was spoken, they were in a tough spot too. But listen to what God tells them in that time. He says, listen, behold, take notice. Take notice of me, that I am the type. When something like this happens, I am the type to do something completely new. He's not just saying, I am doing something new, I will do something new. He says, you can count on me when this type of thing rises up. I am the type that will do something new. You can count on it. Even now it's springing up if you'll look for it. In fact, how could you ever miss it? I am doing something that is like, it's like I'm laying down a highway in the midst of a barren wilderness. It's like I'm pouring out rivers, not just one, rivers, into a desert. It's something that's so obvious, the beasts of the desolate places will glorify me, even the ostriches and the jackals, because they see that I have brought waters to the wilderness, rivers to the desert, in order to give water to my chosen people. And the people who I formed for myself will declare my praise. You know, this morning as we're thinking, how can I know that God's going to guide me? How can I know that my steps will be good? God says, I will lead them. And I want you to know that I will guide your steps and they will lead you to better places, because that's the kind of God that I am. We need to be paying attention this year to the God of the next step. That's why he always wants our attention, so that we can follow him, because he knows what that will mean for our lives. So as we get ready to hear from him this morning, will you guys join me in a prayer? Father, we just pray that this morning you would help us to hear your voice today. Spirit of God, we pray that we would know you, that we would learn to recognize you, that we would have the courage to follow you wherever you are leading us, to take those steps that you put out in front of us, to pursue the good that you say to pursue the directions that you direct us towards, so that we will find ourselves in those places, those good places that you prepared for us. Spirit, we ask that you would help us to discern between your voice and the many other voices that are going on in our heads. Sometimes it's the voices of the expectations of others. Sometimes it's the voices of the expectations we have on ourselves. And they clutter up our minds. They clutter up our hearts so that we can't hear you. We don't hear you clearly. Sometimes it's the voices that tell us that we're never going to amount to much in this world, or that the only chance that we have is to pursue the things and to barter with and bargain with the things of this world and to be successful here. But Father, you have greater plans than that for us. So Spirit of God, we pray that you would silence those voices now so that we could hear from you clearly, that you would show us your world, that you would show us your direction and your plans, so that we would start to be transformed. We would continue that process of being transformed to look more like Jesus in this world than not look like this world. That we would look more like your new kingdom, your new world. And for the citizens we are of that world rather than the citizens of this one. So take that glory and make that visible in our lives. Father, start burning off the old and bringing in the new so that you would receive the honor and the glory that you deserve as our Father, that Jesus, you would receive the honor and glory you deserve as our Savior. Spirit, you would receive the honor and the glory as the one who indwells us, that works this work, the power of heaven at work in us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, in those verses that we read out of Isaiah 43, God tells us three things very clearly, okay? One, he says, you know what? I have a plan. I have a plan. You know, we need to know that, right? He wants us to know, and we need to know that God always has a plan. It doesn't matter where we are at the moment. It doesn't matter how we got there. It doesn't matter whether something came from outside, blindsided us, and knocked us off track, like a pandemic, right? It doesn't matter if something from within rose up, and our own brokenness caused us to we made dumb choices and we ended up somewhere we shouldn't be. It doesn't matter. God says, you know what? I have a plan. And wherever you are, I meet you there, and I have a plan for the steps that will lead you to that place that I want you to be, wherever you're at. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? God says, I have a plan. Second thing he says is, I've already launched that plan. In Isaiah, he says, I want you to know it's already springing up. You can see it if you look for it. In fact, I don't know how you're missing it. I have a plan. It's already in process. And the third thing that he says is that plan is a good plan. And not just is that a good plan, but it's a plan for your good. He says, I want you to know those three things. Now, if you know anything about the book of Isaiah, you know that God was speaking through Isaiah to his people in a time that was a very challenging time for them. They didn't have a pandemic. They didn't have that type of chaos going through their world at the time. Instead, they just had two superpowers that were squeezing them all around them into a tighter and tighter space, and not just geographically, but tighter and tighter, where everything was collapsing around them. And because of that, they had some of the same things that we see going on in our world right now. They had a lot of death that surrounded them. Cities were falling. People were getting carted off into captivity. They had a lot of disruption. They had a lot of economies that were collapsing. They had a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety about the future, a lot of uncertainty. A lot of people starting to despair, saying, how long can this go on? A lot of that was going on in Isaiah's day as well. And into that, God spoke, and he said this. He said, I want you to take a look at the kind of God that I am. I don't want you to look around at what's going on and figuring out how you're going to fix it. I want you to look at the kind of God that I am, that I always have been, that I always will be. We say, well, what kind of God is that? That first verse, verse 19 of chapter 43 of Isaiah, he says, behold, look, take notice of me, that I am the kind of God that when this type of thing arises, I'm the type of God that will do something new, something uncharted, something unexpected, something that's off everybody's radar that nobody knew was coming. I'm the type of God that will do that, and I will do it in a way that you can't miss it. If you just look for it. So start looking for it. You know, when Jesus was born, we just got through Christmas season. When Jesus was born, that was unexpected. God's people knew something was coming, but that was unexpected. When Jesus grew up and he started throwing, you know, illnesses off of people and throwing demons out of people's lives that were just destroying their lives, that was so unexpected. People said that was unexpected. What they were used to was people just preaching at them. They weren't used to that preaching coming with power that actually made a difference in their lives. That was unexpected. It says that people were amazed by that. When Jesus came and he told his disciples, you know what, I didn't come to this world to take over by force and by power. Instead, I've come so that I would lay down my life as a ransom to redeem you. And all those broken people and all just the fickle and the failures, and I've come to redeem all of you by my life, by my blood, my sacrifice. And that was shocking. That was, to the point that Peter takes Jesus aside and he says, you know, I think you got to rethink your plan. There's a better way to do this, that you don't have to go through all that suffering for it. Because when God does stuff, he does it in a surprising and unexpected way, but such an obvious way that to this day we cannot get the death and resurrection. You cannot wipe that clean from history. Because when God moves, he moves in such an obvious way, you can't ignore it. But the death and resurrection too, when Jesus died, they couldn't get their head around it. When he rose from the dead, it was like it took them years. They had seen it. He was standing in front of them, and they're still like, this is crazy. When God moves, he does new things, unexpected things, and he does them to make all things new. And he says, that is the God I am. That's the God I always have been. That's the God I always will be. Take a look at me and consider what kind of God I am. Well, I don't know about you, but I tell you what, that's the kind of God I think we need right now, right? We need a God that does something unexpected, the God that comes in and he does something that no one is looking for. Not the things that come out of our imagination, not the things that we can think of, because you guys, we need more than a vaccine right now, right? I mean, that's one layer. What we've seen erupt in this last year is just layer after layer after layer of things that are broken, things that are twisted, things that are messed up in our own lives, in the lives of those that surround us. We have been face to face with the brokenness of this world this last year. And we need a God who does something new. We need a God who makes all things new. And you know what? In Isaiah 43, God says, I want you to take a look at me because that's who I am. That's who I am. You know, these past months, they've been hard. But I want to tell you, this past week has been hard as well. And I've been talking to some of you guys even this morning, and this past week has been hard. Just this week. This past week has been particularly rough for our family, for me personally. This last week, we found out that it was just a couple of days ago that a friend of ours, and this is a good friend, these are friends of ours that stuck their necks out for us when things got hard. These are friends that helped us land in places when churches would go ballistic, when churches would fall apart, and they helped us find our next place. There's a friend of mine who I would look forward to the gatherings at our conference and that our denomination has because I could regularly count on spending time with this person. It's been a hard time because we just found out 2 days ago that 2 weeks ago, this friend of ours and his wife had tested positive for COVID, and 2 days ago, he had died. And, you know, for a while, this thing stays distant. But when it comes close, it comes really close. And they say that this disease, it takes people that have pre-existing conditions. And you know what? He had them. He had gone through 3 bouts of lung cancer. He had COPD that was still, he had lungs that were compromised. And so, yeah, it makes sense. But you know what? When somebody passes away and they're a friend or they're a family member, who cares if it makes sense, right? It doesn't ever make sense. You know, without this pandemic going on, I could count on seeing him at the next conference. I would be able to sit down with my friend and we would be able to encourage each other in what we're doing and just lift each other and be able to pray for each other and be able to share with what God is doing in our lives and our families. We could have done that. And many of you guys know what I'm talking about because this last week and these last months have been hard. This last week, we had a family that had come down from Canada to Rhode Island, and the reason they were coming down, young family, 4 young kids. I had gotten a call from a pastor up in Canada, said, hey, we have a family coming down. Can you help them out? And we had come alongside of them, and we were hoping that this was going to be a place of rest, a place of healing, a time of just restoration for them, because as a 38-year-old mom, she had contracted or been diagnosed with cancer. It was aggressive. It was unrelenting to the point that they had thrown everything they knew at it. She was down here to try trials, anything they had, because she had scars on her body from the chemo that they had thrown at this thing to try and just get to slow down, and nothing slowed it down. In this last week, they made the decision they just had to go home. They had gone through 3 trials and nothing touched it. Nothing is touching it. And so she's just going home to be with family and friends for whatever time she has left. You guys, that was hard. This last week as a church, we've had several of our members die, including one who was one of the founding members of Christ Church. He was actually, he and his wife, Dean and Joy, came down from the Barrington area to help start the church plant that later joined with Christ Church to become the Christ Church that we know. And this last week, Dean passed away. It wasn't COVID, it was just a heart attack. You know, those happen all the time. But again, you say the details aren't what matters. He was a friend. He was somebody that he was one of those rare people that you know that every time you talk to him, you will go away lifted up because he will pay all the attention to you and say, you know what? God's with you, and I'm praying for you, and I'm so excited about what I'm seeing you do. Dean and Joy were also the parents of our conference superintendent, Howard, who many of you guys know as well, who's come along this side of this church more than once to help the church navigate rough waters or to make transitions or to get the support and the help that they need. Dean and Joy were huge foundational piece of this church. And this last week, God called them home. So yeah, it's been a rough week. That's just me. The thing is that I know that some of you have been going through those same rough weeks this last week and those same rough months because some of these weeks have been stringing together for you. And in fact, I know that some of you, before this pandemic ever started, were going through those weeks and months and years. All that this has done is it just piled more on, but it was there to begin with. And what we are all asking, whether it's the beginning of this year or the beginning of the day as we wake up, we're saying, God, how can I know? How can I be certain that we have a God, not only who can, but who is committed to making things that are new, changing things in ways that we completely don't expect, and leading me on a path that leads to a good place? How can we know that? In Isaiah 43, God says, I want you to know that that's the kind of God that I am. When these things spring up, look at me. I have always, I will always, I am always making things new. Unexpected, off the radar. Making new things and making all things new. And he says, And just look. So just look for it because you can't miss it. It's like if someone were to lay down a super highway in the desert. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever been out west, but if you travel out west and you take I-80 sometime and you go through Nevada, you know what he's talking about. Because in Nevada, you have hundreds of miles of nothing and a highway and hundreds of miles of nothing, and you can't miss it. And he says, that's how obvious it's going to be what I'm doing. And it's going to be astounding because nobody goes out in the middle of a desert and builds a highway. He says, it's going to be like I pour out rivers, rivers of water, not just one, rivers. You take the Mississippi and you take several of them and you dump it on the Sahara. And he says, it's not that it just becomes obvious. That would be obvious enough. But if you put a river in a desert, it changes the desert. The desert becomes a garden. The graves become gardens, right? Like we sung about. The oceans become highways. He says it's going to be that. It's going to be so obvious that the creatures that have gotten used to living in the desert have gotten used to it just being as barren, as being as challenging as it is. Those creatures that are just used to that life in the desert, they're going to wake up one morning and they're going to be glorifying God because they're going, wow, look at how everything has changed just because God wanted to get water to his people. The thing about rivers to deserts is that if you're going to benefit from a river being brought to a desert, you have to live in the desert, right? And a lot of us, we don't want to admit that we're even in the desert. And every so often, a year like 2020 comes along and reminds us, you know what? You're still in a broken world. You're still in a desert. But don't worry, I bring rivers to deserts. That's who I've always been. That's who I am now. That's who I will always be. So look for it. This year, I think one of the things that we need to do as we start out this year is not just figure out what am I going to do to change things. It's like God just says, keep your eyes open. Look at the kind of God that I am. Look at the plan that I have already launched. Look for it. It's obvious because it's a good thing. Keep your eyes open in faith, knowing that you're going to see this thing that I have started. And how many of us, you know, we try to hide this. Sometimes the desolation is not on the surface. And it's not the obvious thing. But how many of us have those pockets of just a spiritual dryness, right? That place where we just feel like relationally things have kind of drifted apart. We're feeling alone or cut off. That desolation in our hearts where we have poured ourselves into something and we've seen it come to a dead end and just come to nothing. And we're going, what have I given my life to? What have I given all my energy to? Or we just look inside and we're worn out by that struggle in our own hearts where we just keep hearing that, how unworthy we are, how just unloved we are, how just inconsequential we are, how incapable we are of changing, of making a difference. We need to know that all of us have those dark places, those barren places. We are in the desert. And God says, I don't want you to pretend you're not in the desert. I just want you to know that I am the God that whenever the desert, when I find my people in the desert, I bring them water. You don't have to make your own. You don't have to make, I will change this. And even the desert creatures will rejoice because they see their whole world change. Because I bring this water, the lengths I go to bring water to my people. And he says, that is my plan. That has always been my intention. That's what I've committed myself to. You guys, we will be celebrating communion at the end of the service, and that is the place where we come to this table and we see that God says, this is what I have always done. I would lay down my very life in order to bring, to put you in this, to bring the water to your souls, to bring life to your spirits, to bring health to this brokenness, to make things new. You know, as I prayed about this new year, and I said, God, what do you want us to be paying attention to? This one phrase kept coming to mind. This one phrase kept coming to my spirit. Really, it was that where God says, I am making all things new. And I believe that in 2021, if we will open up our eyes and we will look, God is always about making things new. But I believe that he wants us to be paying attention. He's just brought us through 2020. He's helped us to see, hey, you know what? You guys are a lot more messed up than you thought you were, right? Okay, we got that. He says, and now I want you to pay attention to something else, and that is that I am making all things new. And it's not the new that you're going to come up with. It's new. It's unexpected. It's surprising. It is something, but I want you to know, and I want you to pay attention. Keep your eyes open, because if you look for it, you can't miss it. It's like a desert. It's like a highway laid out in the desert. You can see it from the moon. It's so obvious. I believe that he's given us this word and this theme for 2021, this making all things new, making our lives new, making our hearts new, rearranging our values, making our relationships, our families, our homes, our neighborhoods, recreating all of it through what he does in us and then through us. God is making all things new. And he's calling us to a deeper understanding of what that means and how we come together with him in that and join him in that process. And so I believe that, one, that is his intention, and two, that we have a response. And we have tried to set up what we're trying to do as a staff now, as a church, is we're trying to make opportunities to, okay, so how do we align with what God is doing? How do we align and give you guys opportunities and those on-ramps for how you can get aligned with this new thing that God is doing? And I believe there's a response that's needed. And I think as a church, we need to find out what God is doing, that he is making us as a church, he is making us new. And that's through making each one of us new as well. And so there are some things that I want to set out as a challenge for this year. For you guys, I want to set out three challenges that you would encourage you to take these up. The first one is this, is that in becoming new, I want to encourage you that you would under you would set it kind of in your heart and in your mind that you would want to, you will learn more about who you are. That you will learn more about who you are and make that known to us. Okay? That starts with something as simple as a Connect card. We need to know who you are. We need to know your name. We need to know where you live. We need to know what's going on. That comes with a prayer card where you just say, pray for me because this is what's going on. That is you admitting, it's not just knowing. It's good. Sure, you can know all you want about yourself, and that gets you halfway there. But you need to, if we're going to be a church, you need to let us know who you are. And so this year, get ready for those opportunities to find out who you are in your relationship with Christ and people to come alongside and us giving you opportunities to say, sign up for this because this is a good next step for you, whether it's something like Rooted, whether it's something like a C3, a community group, whether just this is a good next step for you to take that next step to not only know who you are, know where you are, but to take the next step with Jesus. And we know who you are now, too, and we want to encourage you to take this next step because we see this being beneficial. We're not going to force you to do anything, but we want to come alongside and say, you know what, this is, I know who I am, and I'm letting you know. But get ready for people to be asking you questions about who you are and what you do and what the experience, what is your story? How did you come to know Jesus? What is he doing in your life? Those are important things. That's an important first step. And that's your first challenge. So first challenge, know who you are. Find out walk through your house with the Spirit of God and let him show you how you're wired, what he's called you to, but then make yourself known. Let yourself be known. Second thing that we're looking at, second step, is to figure out based on who God has made you, is like within the context of this church or within the context of your life, what is it that you should be investing in? How can you align best with what God is doing? As we're talking about building a church, if he has brought you here to be a part of Christ's church, then he has brought you here to be a part of what Christ's church is and what we do. And it may be that he has brought you here to be aligned with him in something he's doing through this church, whether that's a leadership team or whether that's working with kids or whether that's being a part of this tech team to get this word out or whether that's that you're part of the care center to minister to those who are really facing some tough stuff right now. You guys, God has brought you here with all that you are so that you might join with all that we are as well, and together he might use us to make a difference. We have said we want God to show himself in this Central West Bay in a powerful way through this church, through Christ's church. That means every one of us, that one, we know who we are, we make ourselves known, but also we get connected with each other, and we get aligned with what God is doing, and we start doing ministry together. We get involved in the ministries that God is doing here together as well. So the second challenge is that. Figure out, based on what he's given you and the passions he's given you, how to get aligned in what he's doing. So get connected with others in this place. Get involved in the ministries of this place according to your gifts, according to your passions. But get invested. Get involved. We're going to be focusing on that this year. So get ready for people to be contacting you and saying, hey, where is it that God has called you to get involved in? What ministry is God calling you to plug into and be a part of in this year? Because he's making all things new. He is raising us up as a church so that he can work in us but also through us to change things. The third step is this, is figure out, we want to learn what it means not just to be a gathered church, that we all come together and we have these holy huddles, right? And that we get together on Sunday morning and we get together. We also want to learn what it means that God has distributed us out into this area, into this region to make a difference. So the third challenge is this, figure out what is God not only doing in you and not only doing in this place, but where has God sent you and how does he want to use you in the places that he has brought you in that workplace that you're in, that neighborhood that you're in that family that you're in that network of people and friends that you are in that school that you attend, in that, where is that place that God has placed you? Because we want to find out what it means that the Spirit of God goes with us when we leave this place, that the church isn't bound to a building, that the church is the people, so that everywhere that the church goes, the ministry of God goes on there, that our impact is a lot further and a lot more distributed than maybe what we had thought. So I want you to take up these challenges this year. Start listening to what God is saying that you are, who you are, what you are to do, how you are to plug in, where you are to go. So three steps you can take. One is this: get registered, right? Get registered. Any way you can, get registered and let yourself be known by others. Okay? Second, get connected, get involved with others in the ministry that God has going here. The third, though, is get busy, get invested in the lives of others who are out beyond this place. Find out who is that person that God has connected to you out there to do his work and to see that change and to see things made new out there. Isaiah 43:21, God says, at the end of that passage we read, he says, as a result of the stream being poured out, the same stream, okay, our whole logo is about this. That's why we're using that. It's a stream being poured out and splashing out. That same stream, as a result of that stream, that river being poured out into the desert, he says this: the people who I formed for myself, they will make my praise known. They will declare my praise. That as a result of that stream touching our lives, we will be praising God, but we will also be making it known to others. And through that stream goes on beyond us. And it touches the lives. It changes. It makes all things new. Amen? You guys, be praying for that. Be praying to that end this year. I think that's what God has on his heart. I really believe that. And he has that on his heart for us. But beyond just praying for it, be expecting to see it. Keep your eyes open for it. Be looking for it. Be looking for those places of connection. Be looking for the steps that God wants you to take. Because he says, I want you to know when these kind of things happen, I'm the type of God that makes all things new. We just pray that through that God will make his glory known, make himself known in this region, that he will be known, that he will change all things, make all things new, especially in this area that he's put us through, this church, this community that he's made us a part of, that Christ Church would be a vehicle, a vessel, a witness of God's glory. Amen.